too. Amen, amen. If you are not excited about what God's doing, amen, you need to take another trip to the altar. Amen, I am excited about where we are and the direction that we are going. Thank you, Sister Mann. Both of us are. This is old water. It's been here for about 3 weeks now. I'm sure that if I move it back there, somebody will get it. And hopefully not drink it. Amen. The book of Genesis, chapter 22. Amen. I want to talk a little bit about worship today. Amen. I want to talk about things that are relevant, talk about things that are going to benefit us, benefit the kingdom of God, and things that are relevant to where we are, who we are, and that are applicable to where we are in life. And amen, what we need to make heaven. And first and foremost, I guess that's probably what we need to do is, but we got to go back to some of the old foundations, the old basics, the doctrinal truths. Amen. That some of Brother Kenny, Brother Roger, Sister Mann, different ones of you that have been around a long time. Amen. The message we used to hear years ago. Amen. We used to hear about hell. We used to hear about baptism and it wasn't hardly a service. Go by, Sister Harvey. We wasn't preaching about hell. Remember the message Bishop preached years ago about the creatures of the night. Remember that, creatures of the night, talking about what comes out in the night and the world that's out there, and talking about a heaven that is placed. We can't describe, we can't tell you about heaven. I could not put into words how awesome and how magnificent and what's the guy that paints all the light pictures? Kincaid couldn't paint a picture that would give even, could not even one fraction of what heaven is going to be. It is an amazing place, and yet we fail. I told Cody this morning, sitting in here, Sister Goodenham had a Bible study lined up for 11:30. I'm sorry, 11:30, and they got here at 11, and so I had 30 minutes. And as fast as I could, man, and you begin to feel the Holy Ghost, and I told Cody, there is a heaven, son, and there is a hell. I said, it's real. It's real, and I'm telling you, the decision you made today to come to church, and I began to talk to him. He went white as a ghost, and big old tears formed in his eyes, and he slumped down in his seat. I started talking about a God that was good, a God that would fill him, and I actually started pulling a little bit from a message in studying, talking about worship, and I found out and keyed in on that he loves Mountain Dew. And so I talked about the scripture that says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And I got to talking to him about it's like coming and you work all day, you're hot, you're tired, and we get a great big glass and pour it full of Mountain Dew and we put ice cubes in it and condensation begins to run down the sides of the glass and it looks so cool and refreshing. You hold it up and the sun just glows through that amber green Mountain Dew. I don't know what color Mountain Dew is. And I hold it up and he just starts giggling. And I said, and then just, I wonder what that tastes like. I just wonder how good that would feel. I said, son, Mountain Dew was made to drink. It was made to enjoy. It was made to refresh. And he's like, yes, sir, yes, sir. I said, and when you come to the house of God, I said, if you come in this place and you don't worship, you don't respond, you don't do anything, that's like coming in before a great big glass of water and you're just saying, boy, that sure looks good. Oh, I bet you're enjoying that. I bet that would cool my parched lips. Oh, I'm telling you, my brow is feverish. Oh, it feels so good. And you walk away with the full glass that somebody's give you and never take a drink of it. The house of God and worship service is exactly that. It is a cool drink of refreshing water that you can come in and oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. I'm not going home thirsty when the altar to drink is sitting right here. Right here at an altar, right here coming across the pulpit out of this black book. Amen. I am not going home with my mouth, I'm not going to drink. Not me. No, sir. Friend, at the end of that 5-day liquid fast we did Friday night, but you couldn't have, I was the last guy to get the Outback. I'm telling you right now. And that was a good piece of steak. But I believe they could have thrown down shoe leather and it would have been good too. Fortunately, it was a good steak though. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the fellowship being with a lot of you. It was my honor just to be with you. Amen. And my honor because I was so proud of you, I began to pass out them church cards. But we'll get to that. Amen. Hallelujah. Book of Genesis, chapter 22. Amen. We are going to begin reading at verse 3, and I'll read through verse 8. Amen. If you will, just follow along with me. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went up into the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, "Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the knife or the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, "My father." And he said, "Here am I, my son." And he said, "Behold the fire and the wood. Where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" And Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. Amen. I want to look at two little pieces and take out of verse 3. It says, "And they went unto the place of which God had told him." Dropping down to verse 5, the Bible says, "I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you." I want to teach for just a little bit out of the thought that came to me Friday night. I believe it was just a place called worship. A place called worship. We could look at many scriptures and texts in the Bible. We could look at where it said the oil was in the house, and they brought all the vessels, and as long as they kept pouring, the oil kept falling. And we could look and say, "Man, if you'll bring them, God will fill them. If you'll get them here, the empty vessels, amen, take what you have." Said, "I got a little oil." Said, "Begin to pour it out." When you begin to pour it out, God begins to multiply until all the vessels in the house are full. That's a type and shadow. God intends for every one of you to be full. God intends for you to sit there full, just like the five wise, with your lamps full of oil burning bright, not waiting. And I could tie in, and if I had time, I would like to just tie those in, but for sake of time, I'm not going to go down those scriptures and use that text. And then I could go to where the Bible said fresh oil. And it talked about every day he'll pour out fresh oil, a fresh renewing. Mercies that are new every day. And so I could use that scripture text and tie it into worship. Amen. I could use, and I want to cover, because someone mentioned to me the other day, I'm talking, as a matter of fact, it was Brother Lowry after he got down here and he began to teach. And he said, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Now someone asked me, can we do, like, is that possible? Can we do that? And Brother Lowry came to me afterwards and he said, "Pastor," he said, I don't believe we should have to tarry every time. I know there are times that we do, and I've said it often, we don't have to roll in the floor. We can speak in the name of Jesus and God deliver somebody. Now there are times, like dealing with a layman, you say, "In the name of Jesus," nothing happens, and you have to reach down and pick them up. I get that. There's two different sides there, so you can go two different directions. But when you start talking about the Holy Ghost filling somebody's life and God filling them with His Spirit and filling them to overflowing, and you look, most of the times we lay hands on them, Brother Rogers, and pray, "Come on, like, no, come on, hold on," they're confused. "What do we, you know, hold on, you got it, come on, it's almost there." And then they're going, "Well, did I have it or don't I have it?" And we go through the motion, we go through all of this, and we are intent, and we are feeling the anointing, and we are 100%. We believe that if we keep praying, God will fill them. But then there is a text in the Bible that talks about Elijah and how those prophets all got up there and he said, "Well, we'll just find out who's who and who God is and whose God is real and whose God is supreme." And he said, "Go on, call him, call him, call him." And Oh, come on. And they begin to holler, and they begin to wail, and they begin to go on, and day, hours go by, and day come by, and the next day rolls around, and man, darkness falls, and it's getting light. And all night long, the Bible says, they hollered and wailed, oh, let the God, oh, no. Nothing happened. And so Elijah's over here, he's going, hi, where's your God now? Come on, but did you hit yourself a little harder? I don't see nothing at it. Bible said he made fun of him. Study it. He mocked. He sat there and digged the man. Yeah, probably was like this. Or Brother Jones, just aggravating the daylights out of him. And man, he just, well, ain't no telling what all he done. Then it come his time. He didn't have to have no fanfare, but the dude, think about it. I know he hit and came and all that stuff, but we probably hide a few times too if she'd chased us like that. But and probably did, probably have, just won't, don't tell nobody about it. But the thing is this, he gets up there, he starts showing off. He says, you better get me a little stone up here. And he thought, if that ain't enough, you're God. He said, put no more stones up here. Put the whole thing up. Build that whole thing up. Oh, stone. He said, now pile the wood up. Ah, that ain't enough. Put some more wood on there. Put it on there, boys. Put it on. They piled the wood high. Then he said, now that done. Yeah, we got it ready. He said, good. Now go get some water. Dig some trenches. Well, he dug trenches all the way around that thing. Just dug that thing, trenches all around it. And then he said, go get some water. And then he said, go get more. And then he said, go. Pretty soon, 12 great big barrels of water had been poured. Now, nobody would even expect wet wood to burn. Wet wood just don't burn. When you got wet rocks, wet wood, stones that are soaked, a trench that's full, the ground's all muddy. And then he stepped back. And he said, now, let God that answers by fire. And when he did, he said, and the Holy Ghost fire fell from heaven. No doubt like that rushing mighty wind when fire set upon each of them. And man, that light began to shine. And not only did it consume the sacrifice, it consumed the wood, it consumed the rocks, it consumed the water. It licked every bit of it up. And then that tells me God wants everything. When the Holy Ghost begins to fall and the fire begins to fall, amen, God ain't coming for just a little bit. He's coming for all of it. God ain't wanting you to hold back a little bit and say, I'm not going to sacrifice this. I'm going to keep this off the altar. One hand out here like this. That's like getting baptized, leaving one hand up. The other day, Jordan wouldn't touch my baptismal clothes. I said, son, just carry them. He said, daddy. I said, why? He said, they got sins on them, daddy. I thought, that boy need to go to Sunday school more. That Sunday school teacher ain't doing her job, I'm going to tell you right now. I said, son, ain't. And we started laughing. Me and his mama laughed. It was funny. We did like you did. I had to tell him, son, the sins ain't in the water. The sins ain't down in that way. He's like, I can't. I still can't touch them, daddy. I said, all right, we'll explain it to you. We'll go into it. Amen. So God doesn't come for just a little bit. When God comes on the scene, he wants all of you. When the Holy Ghost begins to fall, that tells me in a worship service, we weren't designed, and God did not design us to come up to this altar. And we were coming around the altar and coming up in the house of God. And we're standing up here, but God, you can have everything but this over here. That's not the way God works. You can have all of me but this over here, or you can have everything but this section right here. No, when God comes down, he consumes with fire and he takes every bit of it. That's the way God works. That's what God wants. And so I could go to this passage of scripture and talk about worship. Amen. But I want to focus upon Genesis chapter 22 for just a little bit and talk about a place called worship. We know the story, when the praise goes up. What is it? Remember the old song, when the praise goes up, the blessings come down. When you begin to praise him, when you begin to love him, when you begin to let worship go forth, amen, the glory of God comes down and he settles over that place. I look at Psalms chapter 34. We'll come back to Genesis 22. Psalms chapter 34 and verses 1 through 8, the Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. A place called worship. Growing up, I was always taught, man, you better not run in the house of God. Mom Johnson would, man, she would nail you in a heartbeat. You better not chew gum in the house of God. You better not wear your hat in the house of God. You can drink that Coke as long as you stayed outside them doors. But when you stepped in here, she would snatch you up by the nape of your neck. We was taught reverence. We was taught respect. I've heard Bishop tell many times about the elderly gentleman that was walking down the road drunk as a skunk. And when he got walking by the church, Bishop was working there, and he looked, and the man stumbled around. And as he got to the edge of the church, probably, he took his hat off. And he walked with his hat off very slowly in front of the church. Once he got to the other side, he put his hat back on. Boy, he started going around again, doing his thing. Because we're taught from way back in the beginning of a respect and a reverence when we're in the sanctuary and when we're in the house of God. Amen. That is why today they are teaching the young people and teaching the new converts in the new convert class. That's why they're working with the teens in the new class. And that's why they're working with the little ones over here. That's why they have power hours set up to get them excited, but to teach them. Amen. Everything is teaching them reverence and respect and how to act in the house of God and how to have fun but yet respectful in the house of God. How to enjoy. All these things are what are being taught. Amen. Along with Bible stories and knowing the ark and all those other Bible stories that we know. Amen. The world does not understand what we... The Bible says carnality is enmity with God. And when you think about it, they don't understand anything when we talk about the anointing. They don't have... They're lost. They don't know. Anointing. What does that mean? Carnality is enmity. It doesn't even make sense to the worldly man, to the carnal man. But yet, on the other hand, when we came out of the world, amen, and we're now in the church, the things of the world, they don't make sense to us anymore. My God, I'm not going back to that. Carnality is enmity with God. It is the enemy of God. Amen. God and sin just do not mix. But yet, when we're in the house of God, we look out at the things of the world and we think, my God, drunk, throwing up all night, drunk, hungover the next day, out of your mind, on drugs, all those things, they don't make sense to the Christian. They don't make sense to you and I. At least I hope they don't. Amen. Just give us, if they do, sign up for Bible study right after class. Amen. We got a little more work to do. Amen. But when you talk about being slain in the Spirit, that really throws them. Been slain? Who slain who? They think y'all had a murder in the church. It happened in the sanctuary with the wrench and the new convert done it. Almost like this little game, the board game Clue. Amen. I began to jot down a few little things and I jotted down, when you get to talking about tongues. You get to talking about tongues and speaking in tongues. Now, tongues is popular now. Everybody wants to talk in tongues. They have Baptists and all that, but Catholics that speak in tongues. And even the Church of Christ is getting music now. And I mean, they're really getting up for it. But along with it, they're going to teach them how to speak in tongues. Come on, say bye, bye, bye. Da, 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 da. I was preaching in Canada one time. Brother Weeks told me, and that's probably bad, I shouldn't say it. Brother Weeks told me, he said, when you get up there, he said, there is this guy that when he gets up there, he'll get going and he'll say, ba da, ba da, ba da, ba da. I was like, dude, don't say that. That's my brother-in-law. And I got up there, and we was down working with them young people, and I was praying for those teenagers. Man, we, and Canada's got about 500 people, and man, we laid hands on them young people, and they was all over. And all of a sudden, this guy gets up behind me, and he starts helping me pray for, and he starts going, ba-da, ba-da. I was like, oh my God, I had to literally turn around and look to see who it was. But when you start talking about tongues, the world don't get it. They think you're silly. They think it's crazy. They don't understand what we're talking about. And so, when you get in church, and we get to dancing, boy, that gets them. especially if they're used to clubbing and doing all the things that the world does now, especially when it's a younger generation and they come in and man, we got the rhythm going, we got the beat going, we got the music going, we got the drums thumping and the bass a thumping, and we got Sister Kenesha strumming the guitar, and we got Pat tearing the keyboard up, and Jeremy slamming the organ, and man, you get all these. We get to going up here, brother, with the rhythm gets going, and the beat gets going. You watch them, man. They ain't got the Holy Ghost. They don't know nothing. They don't know dancing. They don't know worship. They don't know anything. But it gets a hold of them, and the beat gets them, and they want to fit in sometimes. And so, man, they'll start swaying to the music, and I like to watch them clap sometimes. That's just, I'm sorry, it's bad. I love everybody, but when they get to clapping off beat, it's just something inside me gets tickled. And then they get doing that. Then I watched, his name was Bob Peters. I went to church with him when I was a boy, and he said, you remember? He done it right here. I was like, as a kid, we used to go, Sister Weeks and I would. And, I mean, it didn't make sense to us as kids, you know. Zelma Smith, she babysitted me. And she would go, you know, do all that. And we first come in as kids, my God, that was so funny. It was so funny. It was humorous. And we get in trouble because Mom Johnson said we were sacrilegious, and from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And we would get in all kinds of trouble, and my sister would wait till Mom went out of the room, and she'd go, yes, and I'd do it. And she'd go, Mommy's doing it again. Hey, what's wrong with this? You know, she would start it. I would do it. I wasn't smart enough, I guess. And bam, here she would come again. They don't get it. It don't make sense. The kids, you see, Brother Trevino came and the little guy, he gets up there and he starts dancing all around, just copying. He copied Brother Roll, and he copied different ones of you out here, and then he copied Bishop. And I said, well, how'd Bishop do? And he said, and I said, yep, you got him. That's it. Anyway, world does not understand what we're talking about. You start running the aisles. You men start going around. They wondering who stole something. They wondering who in the world, who's the guy in the front? He must have snatched a purse because everybody's after him. Everybody's got it. What are they going to catch him? Look at him. He's going back up the front. He could have got out the back door. Here he goes again. Pretty soon they're jumping in the crowd. Why not? They're just taking out running. They don't know if we're running from a fire. They don't have any idea because they don't understand worship. They don't understand entering into a place called worship. They have not they've been to a worship center, but they've never had a worship experience. There's a difference between praise and worship. Amen. I'm going to try my best to get there. Amen. But when we get into the cool, you know how some of these beats going, that chains, breaking chains, and all them songs, I win. I mean, you ain't got to have the Holy Ghost to get that. Boy, you're talking about, ooh, I'm going to win. I got it. It'll pump you up and get you excited. And the world's going, because they haven't experienced it for themselves. They've not quite got there yet. Worship is from way down deep. I mean, worship is not just the dancing and the leaping. That's good. The leaping for joy, the dancing in the Lord, the dancing in the Holy Ghost, the dancing before the Lord. Amen. The dancing and the leaping is external, but worship is internal. Amen. The only thing, amen, which it pulls from deep inside, the only thing that worship, amen, the only thing that pulls from way down deep inside of you really is worship. Because you can leap and you can praise and you can do these things and it is external, but worship is when it comes from the inside. Amen. You take, for instance, your job. Amen. Your job, they hired you for your intellect. They hired you for your brains. They hired you for your leadership skills and your abilities, and they hired you for what you can do, and they hired you for your worth ethic, and they hired you because of your education and the degree that you have. They hired you because perhaps even experience that you have. Amen. But they did not hire you for your spirit. They did not hire you. Worship is the only thing, amen, that draws from way down deep and that requires your spirit. If you think I'm wrong there, then don't go to work for a week. Don't show up for work for a week and just tell them my heart was there. You see what kind of paycheck you get on the end. You better have some vacation hours. Amen. Because you will be looking at the applications and the job employment ads in the paper if they even do that now. Amen. But worship requires you entering into and coming from way down deep inside or your spirits. Amen. Have you ever experienced true worship? Have you ever been in a service where you got into a place called worship that it was life-changing, that it turned your life around? A message and an altar service and a call to the front, an altar call, somehow it all came together and an experience happened that changed your life forever. It impacted you. I've had men in here and one of the brethren that are teaching Sunday school told me the other day, he said, that message changed my life. He said, that message impacted me. I've never been the same since then. Amen. You look at the book of John chapter 4 and I'm going to read them for you. John chapter 4. Amen. Beginning at verse 7, and I'm going to read, it's going to be several scriptures here. But I want to get a point across to you. Amen. The book of John chapter 4 and verse 7 says, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. This woman is walking down the road and she sees the Lord, Master. She sees Jesus. She sees a guy sitting there on the well. And she thought, oh, no. Perhaps she even hesitated. Perhaps she stopped. Perhaps she wasn't even going to go up. But something convinced her. Somehow was at thirst. She went on down to the well. Bible says in verse 8, for his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You look at verse 9 there. Amen. She thought the Lord was hitting on her. You read the scripture. This is a woman with five husbands, and the one she's with, she's not married to. This is a woman that's been to the well a time or two. The well was a local watering hole. Think about it. That was the strip in McClenny. Remember, we started down there at Lyman's Barbecue or whatever. I think Woody's Barbecue was out on the other end, so it was Lyman Green's, wasn't it? And we went to G&H parking lot. You'd turn around and go back to Lyman Green and Luby and whatever their names were, the Jennifer and Mike Luby, and they all got busted for drugs. But we went, and so did most of the people in Baker County, and we went right back down to G&H parking lot. They cruise that strip. Some of you got memories on that strip. But, of course, that's for another service about confession, which we're not going to be preaching. I'm not looking up at some of you right now, just to let the moment pass. But here she is, and she thinks, this dude's hitting on me. She thinks this guy in his early 30s, this guy is young, single, mid-30s, early 30s, and this cat is hitting on me, and he's asked me to get him a drink. And she said, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask to drink of me, a woman of Samaria? You know the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence thou hast thou that living water? Art you greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. That's where they get that old song, spring up a well. That old song talks about that living water springing up within. Verse 15, the woman said unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, and neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. I'd have liked to have seen him when he said that. I'm sorry. I have an active imagination, and I would have loved to have seen that moment. He's like, you sure don't, woman. Because they catch you in. She's like, who told you? You got to understand, these are... All right, verse 17. For thou hast had five husbands, and whom thou art with now, or hast not, is not thy husband. I'll get it right in a minute. And thou saidest, and that saidest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers, here we go. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to work. You ever notice they get spiritual all of a sudden? Isn't that something? Somebody lost his Hogan's goat, start talking to them, and they're saved. Immediately they're saved. They always... But let's keep reading. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship Him. God is a spirit, capital S. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, small, lowercase s, and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You got to look at the story. It started with, I need and give me. But before it was done, it's not what she needed. It's what he needed. We come to the house of God, get it all backwards. We come, I need thee, oh, I need you, touch me, oh God. I need you, Lord, I love you. And we do, rightfully so. But when you get into worship, it is not about what you need. It is about what he needs. And that's why he said, we're not talking. See, they weren't just talking about water here. He said, you could drink water again. Amen. Your body needs water over food. I took a paper that I wrote down here some time back. Amen. The study books say that you are 3% dehydrated. It slows your metabolism down. You no longer have energy. You can't lose weight. Your body does not work efficiently at just 3% dehydrated. You cannot substitute water. You can only drink Coke and tea and those kind of drinks like that. But true refreshment can only come from water. It cannot come from some other place. It says that we need to take frequent water breaks. It says start and end your day with water. The brain and the liver are like 75% water. The body is made up of 70% water. The blood is 85% water. If you are down on water and you have a lack of water, your body will not work right. If it is only a little dehydrated, it hinders the electrical impulses in your body. Diseases can be caused or corrected by the amount of water. Lack of water causes chronic fatigue syndrome, depression, anxiety, headaches, backaches, hypertension, backache pain, discs are full of water. Arthritis, ulcers, asthma, fatigue, the blahs, all because of lack of water. Morning sickness. Now, that's not caused by water. Understand that it didn't happen and get there because of lack of water. So don't everybody run out and drink water. Go out and drink water, but it's not. It's a whole other lesson. There'll be an age limit on that one. Morning sickness. The fetus pulls water from the body all night long. So when you wake up, you are nauseated and exhausted because that baby has pulled water from that mama's body. I wrote down some time ago, you can see the parallel. In Isaiah 12, the Bible talks about with joy, you're going to draw water out of the wells of salvation. Jesus said His Spirit is like a well of living water springing to everlasting life. Revelation says, come and drink of the waters freely. Amen. I pulled this because my emphasis there was we need to take frequent drinks of water. Amen. Spiritually, if you do not start and end your day with prayer, there are times we are dehydrated spiritually and our spiritual body and the body of Christ cannot function properly because we have not taken time to take a drink of worship and a drink from the well of living water. Amen. There are times that our electrical impulses just aren't firing just right. There are areas in the body that are hurting. Why? Because they did not take time to take a frequent drink of water. They didn't come up to the well and say, here's my cup. I lift it up, God, fill it up and make me whole. And you went home thirsty. And there was all the water you could possibly drink right here. Amen. I believe there are times we are spiritually dehydrated. Before the service is over, we need to take us a drink of water. Amen. And so you look at this and it is not what she needed, but what he needed. Amen. He wasn't there to talk about water. They were there to talk about something totally different than water. Amen. Water is to the body what worship is to the soul. Water is to this natural man what worship is to the spiritual man. Amen. And so I do believe there are times that I really believe our church, you go through seasons. And we were in a winter season. We were in a dormant season. And for us spiritually, this is a time. Bishop called me and said the very same thing. This is a springtime for us. This is a time of growth, a time of birth, a time of renewal, a time of refreshing, a time of revival. Churches go through seasons. Had it budded too soon, amen, the winter cold will kill it. And I believe that there are times that churches are spiritually low on water. Amen. And so, I think for us what happened was God just decided to give us a big drink. And God began to refresh families. And you look, kids, how many does this make now? 14? 11 baptized up until today. 3 more today. That is 14. Amen. 3 of the ladies that have been coming are brand spanking new. 3 of them today, 2 of them have never been here. Miss Tammy and Cody have never walked through those doors. Yet we have 2 first-time visitors that came with the woman who's been here about a month that came from our very first singing on the square. You tell me God ain't pouring it out on Lebanon and pouring it out on Landmark. I'm sorry, honey. You cannot convince me otherwise. Well, it's just happening. This ain't happening. It's because we're thirsty and we're saying, God, give us revival. God, give me a drink. I will worship till the water starts flowing. I will pump this well until the water starts flowing. I will add to. Remember those old wells that had the washer and you had to pour a little water on it? Amen. When you put forth worship and begin to worship the Lord, the Holy Ghost begins to fall. And that living water is like that old well when you start pumping it. Water begins to flow. Pure, clear, refreshing water. Amen. While God's pouring out, I'm saying, God, fill me up. Fill me up. Amen. And in doing so, I'm saying, God, I worship you. I worship you for revival. Amen. You can worship in witnessing. You can worship in prayer. You can worship through the Word. Amen. I'm going to try to do, if the Lord will allow me, a little series. I've had several of them tell me, Brother Thrasher's big on series. I mean, he does one series after another. A lot of pastors do it. And I'm going to try to focus on worship for a little bit. We started with doctrine, and so now we have our new convert class, and we're teaching Bible studies. We actually now have 1, 2, 3, and you had 4. So that's 7 Bible studies. 3 was taught this morning. We are currently teaching 7 Bible studies. Do you realize and understand that? 7 Bible studies, the very first time people walking through those doors. We are in a time of revival. 4 got the Holy Ghost and 14 baptized after today. We are having revival. Amen, amen, and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It is happening. It is all around us. Amen. I'm just thirsty enough. I'm just thirsty enough to say, God, why are you pouring it out? Amen. Why don't you fill my cup? Amen. And at the whole time, you're saying, God, fill me with more. Fill me with revival. Fill us with the Holy Ghost. Pour out revival on us. You are pouring out worship back to Him. We have spent time in prayer, sending it forth up to Him. We are taking time now like we never have before to reach out. Amen. And worship through witnessing. You worship through your holiness. Holiness is our identity. And we worship the Lord by our holiness. By the way we dress and the way we do our hair and the way we the clothes we wear and how we wear them. Amen. And when you wear the wrong kind of things and they get a little too short, a little too tight. Amen. You're worshiping somebody, but it ain't the Lord. And so through our clothes, we worship. Amen. Worship. It's got to come from way down deep inside. Amen. It is a reverent devotion and allegiance to a deity. Amen. All mankind, they look for something to worship. Amen. They know God exists. We know God exists, but knowledge alone, a knowledge of knowing that His existence is not enough. It's not enough to save us. And so we can't just do it on knowledge alone. Amen. Because every man knows, a lot of them know there is a God. They just don't believe that He is the supreme being. They believe that something happened, but they tend to go towards evolution, or they tend to say there is no God and they're an atheist, or they're an agnostic, and they say, well, He is God, but He isn't the supreme being, and there perhaps He's somewhere out there. And then there are us, the creation, that know, hey, this thing happened because of a great creator. And it's when the creation begins to say, God, I love you. And creation begins to worship the creator. Amen. From something way down deep inside. And so here we find that the woman, she begins to say, we worshiped Him in the mountains. You think about that. Let me jump back up to that statement. We worship something. Men, I put my to bring this thing to a happy land. Amen. You men, you are going to worship. You will worship something. Amen. There are 3 areas that we are marked by. We're marked by our influence, our experience, and our passions. Amen. You look around you. Amen. It didn't take long if you were a Florida Seminole fan and you showed your form of allegiance by wearing an FSU cap. We used to wear a Gator cap, but we've quit wearing them lately. We'd leave them in the back of the closet. We're thanking God that it's basketball season and hope that God, the basketball team, can do something because the football didn't. They didn't even show up. We are passionate about something. Amen. And therefore, we are marked by our Gators. Sorry. Almost said it. By the shirts and caps we wear, by camouflage, by our uniform. You are marked. That is your identity. Our holiness is our identity. Amen. You are marked by your passions. There was once a man that Malcolm Forbes was his name. Amen. There was a bottle of Chateau Lafite. It was vintage 1787. It was considered the most expensive wine ever. It cost $156,450. $156,450. Now listen to me, people. If I had $156,450, if I just had the $450, I would not buy a box of wine, let alone a glass, a cup of whatever, a jug of wine, a bottle of Chateau Lafite, vintage 1787. I wouldn't dare. pay for something I couldn't enjoy. That's like buying a big old $156,000 home and not living in it. I'm going to leave it right there. I'm going to look at it. Isn't it nice? So pretty. He put that bottle of wine. He was so proud of it. Malcolm Forbes had a special pedestal made for it. He had special lights put on it. He had big old spotlight shining right down on that $156,000 bottle of wine. He had alarms put in the room, and he had special sensors that if it was removed, and it set there for everybody to look at and enjoy. It was so pretty. It was so expensive. It was such a treasure, and he worshipped it. And one day, he was in the room, and they were looking at it, and he heard, and the cork kept. Malcolm Forbes had a minor heart attack. Not literally. He ran to the bottle. And the bottle that he worshipped, the thing that he worshipped, the thing that he was passionate about, the thing that he... The light had shined on it till it dried the cork out. And those fancy spotlights that he had put to hold that up in reverence, idolized, it dried the cork. Life would dry your cork out, won't it? I had to throw that in. Sorry. And it said, boom, $156,000 wasted. He never got to taste or drop. It was ruined. Because day after day, would you quit smiling at me? Look, I'm telling you, I see him back there. Tony's in the sound booth. Okay, he's listening, backing me up. I look at him, he's going, he just grinning at me. Like, she's beautiful, hide her. You're going to be in that sound booth, son, you stay with me. What if I asked you right now what I was preaching on? What would you say? Mila. That's what you told my pastor. So anyway, let's get back to this. Brother Gutierrez, we'll get him after church. Don't you worry. Yes, sir. Here's the thing. Malcolm Forbes put it up there. That was his passion. That was what he was passionate about. You will worship something. You will worship something. You wear it on your hat. You wear it on your shirt. Now, I'm not saying you can't wear a Florida Gator. This year, you cannot wear a Florida Gator shirt. We do not want anything to remind us. I do not mind if you wear an FSU shirt this year because you have something to be proud about. Not Miami. But, sorry. Are you brother out there? It's not Miami. You will worship something, and you are marked by what you worship. Tony, I love you. You are marked by what you worship. Second thing, you are marked by your experiences in life. Take a look at it. Amen. We've already talked about our holiness. It marks us. But our experiences in life mark us. You ever seen some guy with tattoos? You ever seen them sleeve tattoos? I mean, like all the way to their sleeve, all the way to their neck. They put road maps on their backs or something. They literally ink themselves up and call it art. But you worship something. Body piercings. We can talk about body piercings and go back in the scripture where it talked about the slave and he put the ear up there and he bore the hole through the ear and they marked it and put a ring in it. Why did that? Because he said, I'm your slave and because I love him. Amen. I want God to mark me, but I ain't marking myself up like the world and showing reverence and say, you know what? Look, I'm a slave to the world and the things of the world. Friend, that's not how it happens. But you will worship something. Amen. So thirdly, influences, they mark us. There was once a woman that had a migraine. She had a terrible migraine. And the very next morning, she woke up. It wasn't because of flashing lights. Sister Johnson and Sister Donnie, they got where they get flashing lights sometimes. They must have been drinking the same water because now they get what's called ocular. Occasionally, my wife's had two of them, an ocular migraine. This lady woke up with a migraine. All day long had a migraine. She went to bed that night. She woke up the next morning. She was speaking Chinese. Actual, documented, scientific, it's a fact. Would y'all stay with me for a little bit longer? Honey, if you could just stop in the back, giggling back there. I tell you, y'all talk about Chinese. We might win one day. But it would be funny to hear you pass together and sing right now. She woke up, Brother Rogers, speaking Chinese. It baffled the doctors. They could not explain it. They tried to come up with a condition and a reasoning. They tried to label it. They tried to name it. You see, we are accented. Our lives are accented. Our lives are changed and affected and molded by the experiences in life, by our passions in life, and by those we are around. They influence us. You ever notice you went to El Molino, and you order, You don't speak Spanish. Am I? Sí, señor. You start, catch yourself before you're done, Brother Gutierrez. You're sounding Hispanic. You're influenced by their conversation. You're influenced by their talking to you. You're influenced, your tone, your talk, everything is accented just by being around them. We are affected and accented by those around us. The Bible says, be ye holy. The Bible says, all manner of conversations, be ye holy. Our holiness marks us. Amen. That's why it's good to be around God's people. It's good to be in the kingdom of God. It's good to put your kids in around youth outings and put your kids over here where they belong on youth trips and put them in Sunday school and power hour. Why? Why is it good? Because they are marked and influenced by the world that they are in. And so the more you can pull them out of the world and put them in godly things and apostolic functions and put them in youth camps and ladies retreats and men's retreats and all the things, you say, why do you push it, Pastor? We push it because I know that the world will accent you. And the world will mark you if left alone. Man left alone will self-destruct. Man left alone will find himself in a bar stool somewhere. Find himself face down in a toilet puking his guts out somewhere. Why? Because the world will affect you. Amen. Salvation comes only by hearing, believing, and obeying the Word of God. You will worship something. Amen. We will worship and devote ourselves. The world devotes themselves to pleasure, to profit, and possessions. Amen. You see, God placed in you a need to worship. He placed a God-shaped void in you that only God can fill. I had the opportunity to tell Cody that very same thing. I told him, Cody, you can try to put alcohol and cigarettes and I was kind of aiming at Miss Tammy sitting right next to him. I said, you can put all those things, but it's like putting a square peg in a round hole, son. It don't fit. And eventually, it comes apart. Eventually, what's there comes out because it was not intended, because God places a God-shaped void in a man that only God can fill. If you don't believe me, you look at the Bible and it says, he seeketh such to worship him. If I've got time, I'm going to go very quickly in just a moment. 5 dadgum minutes. He seeketh such to worship him. Very quickly, Revelation 4:10 says the 24 elders, that's all they did. Day in and day out. Sorry, Sister George, I just threw that in the dadgummit part. It's my father coming out. Sister George's mama. I'm sorry, not Sister George, Sister George's mama. I looked at the wrong one. Sorry. And here's the thing. I seen her grinning when I said dadgummit. I wasn't going to look up. Here's the dadgummit. Here's the thing. Revelation 4:20 says, The elders, all they do is prostrate themselves before an almighty God, and their whole existence is to worship. That's it. Read it. And we have a room full of people that come to a worship center, so to speak, but yet the Father who is omniscient, who knows everything, the Father, there is nothing that He does not know. There's nothing that He did not create. He did not allow it to happen. If it happened, it only because He said, okay. But yet here is this very same Father. And He said, the Bible says He's seeking. He's seeking. He's looking for somebody to worship Him. That means not everybody's doing it. That just all that means to me is somebody ain't fulfilling their role and responsibility as an apostolic Holy Ghost filled man or woman, because the Bible said God's walking around seeking somebody to worship Him. Amen. It is a relationship between Creator and creation. Amen. I knew I had it in there somewhere. Amen. So, we have to get from the natural to the supernatural, from the carnal to the spiritual. And so she said in the scripture, we worship Him in the mountains. But you said we worship Him in Jerusalem. And you said that you're a Jew and I don't even belong and I don't fit, but we worship in the mountains. She's looking now, she's trying to find. And she said, we worship in the mountains and you worship. It's not whether you're in Lebanon or whether you're in Lake Park. And she's saying, but we're in the mountains. And he's saying, yeah, but we're Jerusalem. And that's where the scripture come in. And that's why you have to get in the Spirit. It said, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit, little s, and in truth. Are you following me? That means you don't just walk in. You don't just walk in and start clapping your hands. That's praise. Because praise is thanking Him for something He's done. Praise is when you say, oh God, thank you for my family. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Oh God, I praise you. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for the blessing. And thank you, God, I praise your holy name. I praise you. I praise you. But worship is deeper than praise. Worship is when you get in the Spirit. The Bible says, not you can't worship Him. It's not just about the mountains. It's not just about in Jerusalem. But you must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Amen. You cannot approach worship with a head or a body experience, but it is experience of your soul. Amen. First time worship was mentioned was there in Jerusalem. In Genesis chapter 22. And the Bible says it, if you read it for yourself, He had waited all these years. He had waited for that son. And now that very same son, he's required to put Him on an altar. Isn't it amazing sometimes God requires, not amazing, it's just the way God is. He requires the very best from us. You're not allowed, we're not even allowed. We have an obligation, a responsibility, and you should want to, when you come to the house of God, to give everything you have in worship. Amen. God has been so good to you and I. God has given you and I so much. God has blessed us so much. God has kept us from, we don't even know what God has kept us from. And yet we come in and we don't worship Him in spirit. You cannot approach worship from a head experience. You cannot approach worship with hands. That's praise. But when you enter in and you walk in before the Lord, you have to give your very best and your very all, and you enter in and you say, God, I love you from my spirit and my soul. It loves you. I love you with my soul, God, with everything in me. Amen. It is a physical expression of an inward feeling. Amen. Bible says you cannot serve. I'm trying to go very fast. It says you cannot serve two masters. The word worship is made, is created, is come from two words. Worth-ship. Worth-ship. They put them together and came up with the word worship. And when you worship something, you are telling its worth and what it means to you. And when you come in with a casual approach to worship, and when you come in with hands down, head lowered, heart dragging the floor, God's been good to you no matter what's going on in your life. And when you come in here and you don't give it your very all, amen, the Bible says you cannot serve two masters. So you can't come and give more to one than the other. Amen. You got to make up your mind. It says bitter and sweet cannot flow from the same well. Amen. So when you come to the house of God and you begin to worship Him, you begin to show Him what He is worth by the amount of worship that you give to Him. God, you are worth more to me than anything else. You are worth more to me than the world. You are worth more to me. And so, but God, because I value you and I value this walk, amen, you begin to express how much you appreciate Him and how much you value Him by the amount that you worship Him. Amen. You remember the scripture that says, not just my feet, but my hands, my head, all of me, God, I give you all of me. I jotted down the story of Indian Joe. I don't have time to tell it. You know the story where he comes and gives a horse, a bridle, a saddle. He gives everything, and it still wasn't enough. And old Indian Joe come up and he said, okay, as the old evangelist was preaching in that old tent revival, and only thing left, he said, God, all I got is me. And so he walked back down to the altar, and he crawled up on the altar, and he said, God, I give you old Indian Joe. He had to give everything. Worship is when you enter in. And when you enter in worship, you give everything. I'm going very, very, very quickly now. Amen. In verse 3, this is one place I want to get to. In verse 3, the Bible talks about to the place. You ever went in a store And they said, what are you getting? I don't know. I'll know it when I see it. We've all done that. I don't know, but I'll know it when I see it. I'll know when I see it. I know it. You enter into worship. You come in the house of God when you enter into worship. Amen. It is a place that you cannot even, but you know it when you get there. It's hard to explain and describe, but when you get there, you know it. Oh, and it feels so good. Why? You know it when you see it. You know it when you feel it. And so here, he said, me and the lad going over yonder. Said, where are you going? He said, we're going to a place. He called it a place. Verse, going back very quickly. He said in verse 3, and Isaac and his son clave the wood and the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. God showed us a place. God's taught us about a place and told us about a place. I'm teaching you today about a place called worship. And he said, I'm going yonder in worship. Verse 3, he could not even describe this place. Amen. I believe there is a place in God where you can enter into a place called worship. You'll know it when you get there. It's a journey. He said, we're going up. We're going up. We're going higher. We come into God at this level. We come into the service at this level. We come in right here. But throughout the service, we start getting higher and higher and higher. And our worship and our praise goes up. And it begins to flow heavenward. And we go higher ever on our journey into worship. It is a process, a going up. Amen. When Solomon was there, and I believe it was the queen of Sheba, when she came and she brought, she didn't need anything. She already had it. She brought him jewels and gold, and she brought him gifts and all these things. And you know what she was taken back with? You know what she was impressed with? It was his worship. She already had money. She was queen. She already had the gold and the jewels. She did not need it. It did not impress her. But you know what impressed her? Read the scripture. She said, how happy are your men? How happy are your men? How happy do you enter into worship? How happy are you when you come in and you enter worship? Are you just ho-hum in your approach? Or do you enter into a place called worship that is taking you ever higher? And you enter in, I wonder if God, look what He say, how happy is Landmark? You get there in a place called worship. You'll know it when you see it. Because the Bible said when he was 3 days away, I'm trying to wrap up, I'm trying to close. When he was 3 days away, the Bible said, he looked up and he saw it afar. He looked in the distance, he said, hold on. The Bible says on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. There they stopped. We come into the house of God. We see miracles. We see the miraculous. We see the gifts in operation. We see the person next to us enter into worship. But we stop and only stare in the distance. We see it and we know it when we see it. We know it's there. But we always stop before we get there. We stop within sight, but never getting to a place called worship. And watch when others dare to keep going. And we go home thirsty. We go home empty. Because we never entered the place called worship that God so longs for you enter. The Bible said He seeketh such to worship Him. I don't want to be guilty of stopping too soon. Amen. I wonder what would happen. I wonder what would happen if one day we decided to keep going. Are they standing at that door? Bring them in. Come on in, brother. I wonder. I wonder what would happen if we could ever, ever, ever get to that place where, Brother Cannon, when you've had a rough week, your days have been long and your nights have been all by yourself and lonely, phone call just don't cut it. Brother Rogers, there's often times you text me and say, I just had prayer. I just got down on my knees in my hotel room. I wonder if there ever would be a day that as a church we could get into a place called worship. Where you don't stop and stare at it in the distance. You see, I've stopped saying, I changed my motto. My motto has been, if they can have it, we can have it. If they can do it, we can do it. I told some of the brethren this week, I said, I've changed my outlook and my opinion and my theory and philosophy and viewpoint. If they can do it, we can do it better. If they can have it, we can have it better. If they can preach it and do it and reach them, we can do it better. Why? Because there is a day, I do believe Landmark is not going to stop and stare in the distance, but they're going to go on into a place called worship. They're going to enter into that place called worship. And they're going to walk ever higher in a world that they live in. They're going to go up, 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 up into a place called worship. Amen. It is not coming and saying, didn't they do good? You may be seated. I'm almost done. I'm trying to bring it to a close. Friday night, it was tremendous and the Spirit of God was here. But it wasn't all about how good Pat done on the song and it was good. But that's not what brought worship. The song was good and the pastor said and he stood and he cried and tears flowed. Didn't he move the pastor? No, sir. I'm sorry. It wasn't the song that moved the pastor. It wasn't. I began to realize that I am nothing against an awesome God and I am so small and humble. You see, the Bible says they prostrated themselves. They laid themselves down. When you study there, when he said, me and the lad, we go yonder. Yonder, when they used to say that years ago, they'd say, I'm going, where are you going? It's out yonder. Out yonder, especially if you're in the south. Out yonder. I'm going out yonder. Yonder meant you had to take a journey to find what was out there. And he said, I'm going yonder. And me and the boy, we're gonna go up and we're gonna worship and then we're gonna return. He already knew when the Holy Ghost hadn't been poured out, but God done that said, hey, you go and worship and you coming back, I'll provide the lamb. I'll provide the sacrifice. And only thing was, all he had with him was some wood. All he had with him was the fire. And all he had with him was a knife. I'm trying to close. You don't get thirsty, and I talked about it earlier, and I talked to the young Cody earlier. You don't get thirsty. Quench the thirst. You don't get refreshment by just watching the glass of water. You don't get those dry parched lips refreshed. You don't get there by just looking at the glass of water. You have to take it in your hands and you have to tip it back. Put it to your mouth and take a drink. I wonder how many times we come to the house of God. Amen. Why be a spectator? Why not be a participator? How many times does God give us what we need and we stop just shy of the altar? We stop there and look in the distance and we never enter into worship. And the glass of water's there, and we go home thirsty, we go home in need, and everything God had for you was right there for the taking. And we never make that journey from here to the place called worship. Then I pray God quench this thirsting in my soul. I thirst for revival. I so want God to move. If they can have it, we can have it better. If they can do it, we can do it bigger. Amen. I believe if we can all get the same hunger, the same thirst, the same burden, the same vision, we can all take this journey together. We can take this place higher, take this church to a place in God that we've never been before, a place called worship. And in worship, you realize that in a worship experience, and while worship is going on, people can get the Holy Ghost. When worship is really, 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 really being poured out, and God fills this place, and God fills every single one of you, do you realize that cancer don't belong in the building? Oh, you're far out there now, Pastor. No, sir, I'm directly in the book, and I'll prove it to you according to the Scripture. Amen. Healings take place in the middle of worship. I remember Bishop telling me they was worshiping and they was crying and they was praying, and all of a sudden this boy began to scream and he began to holler, and it freaked them out. He didn't know what was going on. And Bishop had just began just finished preaching, and they were worshiping. And a boy's leg was like a foot too short. And in that very service, his leg grew. In the service, God healed him. A woman began to scream, "I can see, I can see." God healed her eyes. A deaf man that was there, God opened his ears. He was stone cold deaf, and God opened his ears up. Why? Because they was in a worship. I, for one, I don't remember the event. I've heard story after story of it. I've got the braces somewhere, and the bishop's got them somewhere. And they brought me in. I was 11 months old, and I spent every night screaming and crying because they would put me in those braces. My legs were twisted like a grapevine. It was in a worship service that they carried me up with those braces on my little old short, chubby legs. And they put me on an altar. Hello. They brought me up and they put me on an altar. And they laid there my weaknesses. They laid there my infirmities. They laid there my disease, my disabilities. They laid there in a worship service. And somebody had enough faith and trusted God enough that they did not stop at the last row or the first row, that they walked that long distance up to that altar. And they laid me on there, and in a worship service, they begin to pray, and they begin to cry, and they begin to worship God. See, praise is thanking Him for what He's done. Worshiping is believing Him for what He ain't done yet. Worshiping Him is when in a spirit of worship, that's for the things He hadn't done, and you begin to worship Him anyhow. And you praise Him and love Him and enter into worship anyhow, whether He does or whether He doesn't. Whether He gives you a spouse or whether He doesn't. Whether He heals your body or whether He doesn't. It is not hindered by worship. Amen. But worship is from way down deep. They laid me up there on that altar and in a worship service began to pray. And they took those braces off. Right there in that service, they told me my legs and feet begin to twist and turn. No pain, no hurt. I didn't feel a thing. I didn't cry. I just sat there and wondered. They said, I just looked around. I was not freaked out by the incident. I don't remember any of it. But they said my feet began to twist. And they began to turn upright. And they got straight, just like everybody else's feet. And God healed them. I remember a part when I was about 11. God healed me. I could walk and run just like the next guy, but I was pigeon-toed. I remember walking home from school. I remember walking with your brother. And I was in the sand. We was walking down by the Boy Scout camp. And we was in the sand there. And I looked at his feet, and he was walking out like this. His feet went out. His tracks in the sand went this way. And mine was this way. In pigeon-toed. We commented on it. I walked home from school and I told my sister, if God can heal me from being pigeon-toed or from being crippled, then He can finish it. He can heal me from being pigeon-toed. He did it when I was crippled and we prayed then and God healed me. Then I believe He can do it now. I don't remember when it happened. Don't know when it happened. But we were walking out by Higginbotham Holler. Me and same Bobby. Same his oldest brother again. We're walking down a dirt road. And I was walking in the sand. And I looked. And we were walking side by side. And for some reason, he got ahead of me. And I seen his footprints. And then for some reason, I don't know why I looked, I have no idea. It had been a couple days. But I looked and my footprints in that sand were perfectly straight. And until this day, they are just as straight as yours. No pigeon toe. How did it happen? I don't know how it happened, but I know in worship. I just believe God. If you did it then, you can do it now. In a place called worship, the miraculous can happen. In a place called worship, the Holy Ghost can fall. And the Lamb of God can present Himself a sacrifice. Amen. I want to close very quickly with this before we go on. Praise. Anybody can praise. Remain standing. Anybody can praise. Remember this. It's a journey. I was at me and the lad go yonder. We go. We go. We go. How many times have I said already? We got to go. We got to get up and go. You can't stay here and wait on it, but you got to go and get it. And he said, we're going over to a place and we're going to worship. Amen. Praise. Anybody can praise. The Bible says, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. That's the animals. That's the wind whistling through the trees. That's the squirrels that are barking in the tops of the pine trees. That's the howl of the coyote. That's the roar of the lion upon the African savanna. That is the roar of a bull elk, the grunt of a bull alligator. Don't you understand? Everything that hath breath, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord. Everything that happens around us, you and I, we can praise the Lord. Everything. Can praise the Lord. But I go on and read in the scripture. Worship. The Bible says the Father seeketh. See, worship is rare. Worship is not near so popular. Worship is not near so plenteous as praise. You can praise at a football game. That's my theme. Worship comes in on a much deeper level. And the Bible says, the Father seeketh such to worship Him. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it amazing that the one who knows everything is trying to find the one who's worshiping Him? Again, I just wonder what it would be like if before this service is over, that we could all enter into a place of worship. Amen. More coming to church than sitting on a pew. I'm closing. More to coming to church than sitting on a pew. Amen. You see, I'm trying to create a thirst in you. I'm doing my dead level best to make you thirsty for worship. I'm doing my dead level best as a pastor to create a hunger and a drive and a thirst in you that takes us from here to there, from down here 3 days out looking, saying, I see revival, I see it, yep, there it is, oh, look what we could have. I am so trying to get you to that place. Not 20 years from now, God have mercy, 20 minutes ago, I'd like to get you there, but there is a place called worship. And there is revival in the distance. We're really not having it. It is greater than anything we've ever experienced. Don't you understand? 4 getting the Holy Ghost and 14 as of today being baptized in Jesus' name in just 4 weeks. That is awesome. That's amazing. That's excitement. That's revival. But yet it's still not as God intended it. Because God intends it to a level that is far deeper. He said His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. What God intends for us, we can't even imagine. What God has for us in a place of revival, in a place of true worship. Amen. I am trying to create in you a thirst for more. A desire to go higher. So I'm closing today. I want to close with this. You have to have 3 things to worship. You have to have 3 things for worship. Read the scriptures, friend. First thing he had was wood. You gotta have wood. for a sacrifice, for an altar, and for worship. You gotta have wood. It can't be wet wood. It can't be green live wood. That don't burn. Just smokes and smolders. And you gotta have wood that's dead. Wood that's kindling. You ever built a fire? And you shaved off pieces of dead wood and you shaved off kindling and you start a fire with kindling and dry wood. See, that wood represents dead things in your life. That represents hurts. I'm reaching now. That represents pain. That represents dead things. That represents areas of your life that have been cut off. Areas of your life that are now dead. Areas that you have to bring to an altar. You have to lay them before a good God. Three things in worship. Number one, you gotta have wood. Bible says he carried his wood with him. That wood represents dead things because it's now dead. Amen. Cut off. Never going back and never growing back. See, dead wood, nothing grows. Oh. Dead wood means I'm not going back to the world. I'm not going back to where I came from. I'm not going back to a bar stool. I'm not going back to the cigarette counter and put cigarettes in my pockets when I can't hardly afford food. We go and buy cigarettes. We're hurting and we go and buy an alcohol. It's dead and I'm never going back and it's never growing. Those things that have been killed and crucified and cut off in my life, they will never grow back. And so first you gotta have wood to enter into that place called worship. Secondly, you gotta have fire. Fire, when it gets a hold of things, it changes the very molecular structure of fire. Ever seen a vehicle that burned and the next day it's rusted? How in God's name does that happen? Fire changes things. On the day of Pentecost when fire fell from heaven, like a mighty fire, it fell upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Fire changed their life. Fire changes you when it touches you. And he said fire was in his hand. Really? Fire's in his hand? What meaneth thou this? Then I read that scripture over there where it said the priest, when he goes in, he's got that smoking fire in his hand. He's got that fire that walks in. Can I tell you, I told my wife this morning, all day long, you see, worship is a journey. You don't just take a cake and throw it in the oven. God have mercy, you preheat that oven. You put a pizza in the oven, you preheat that oven. Every teenager knows that. You don't just throw it in there, turn it on and expect it to work. You didn't put the time into that cake and then expect it to just... Sister Harvey, you know all about bacon. She can cook from way back. And you know when that oven, beep, 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 you know it's ready. I wish you could hear in the Spirit. You know what I'm hearing in the Holy Ghost? Beep, 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 beep. I'm hearing where God's saying, it's ready for you. It's ready for you. It's ready for you if you can just enter into the place called worship. It's a place, it's a journey. And so all day long, brother, and it started for me early, early, early. My alarm went off at 6 o'clock. I sat at the kitchen table and studied last night till I was tired and I fell asleep at the table. Why? Because I realized that I wasn't there yet. I wanted to get to a place called worship. I realize that my journey is not complete. I'm not up there yet. And so today, first, you gotta bring those things, those dead things. You gotta bring that wood, what's never ever going or growing back. You bring it to an altar and you begin to lay it before the Lord. That's entering into the place called worship. And then, Then you take that fire, and the Bible says he walked in. You see, he took the fire with him when he went in. And when you get in that place called worship, when you ever get there, when you come in those back doors back there, friend, you're bringing the fire with you. You don't try to get it after you get here. A place called worship, brother, is when you bring the fire with you. That's revival. When you bring a hand and a heart and a mouth full of fire, and you're saying, I believe God can do anything. Everybody you talk to, you're telling them, you need to meet my Jesus. You need to come to church with me. You need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. What? That's for it to be. No, friend, that's bringing the fire with you. That's where he says the fire was in their hand. Abraham had the fire in his hand. That fire of heaven that fell on the day of Pentecost changed them, and it's still changing us today. All day it's a journey. Brethren, all day, tomorrow, all day long, you need to be getting ready for prayer. Why? I'm bringing the fire with me when I get here. That's where I want to get us to. That's where I want to get us to from here. Not stopping 3 days' journey and saying, look out yonder. One day, one day, one day. No, sir. What about right now? What about today? What about right now, Landmark? I believe Lebanon is primed and ready for revival. We get on our phones these warnings that they say fire, fire alert. Fire, fire warning, fire watch. Can I tell you, God sending out your little spiritual cell phone. God help us if our battery's dead or we're not getting the signal. But he's sending out fire warning, brethren. Look out, this thing is ready for revival. Number two, you've got to have fire when you enter into worship. And thirdly, in closing, he had a knife. He had a knife. What's a knife got to do with worship? See, the knife was for the living things that were still there. Knife was for the things that he couldn't do himself. And so he waited till he got into the presence of the Lord and he said, God, you got to help me with this. Visitor and new convert, if you ever want to enter into that place of worship, if you ever, Sister Sharon, want to enter into the place called worship, you got to go into an altar. Sister Winona, Sister Priscilla, Cody, Sister Tammy, Lacey, you've got to enter in. And you got to say, God, here's all those dead things and areas of my life. These are the things that you've delivered me from and changed me from. I lay them on an altar. They're already dead, God, and they're never going to grow back again, and they're never coming back again. I put them on there, and then you say, God, would you let that fire of heaven consume these and devour these? Would you let that fire of the Holy Ghost, God, would you let it come down and consume my offer? And I'm here because I want to get into that place called worship that my pastor's talking about, that the preacher's talking about. I want to feel that worship. I want to enter that worship. I don't want to wait. I want to get there now, God. You see, it's a journey. It's a journey. It's a journey. It's for you. It's for me. It's for your children and all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And God's calling and God's looking and seeking somebody that'll worship Him. Third thing was, he brought a knife. And the knife was for the things that he could not do himself. There are things in your life. And there are areas in your life that you're going to have to walk down to an altar. Probably the longest journey of your life. And there are times that even us as saints and apostolics and even us as preachers and men of God and men that have been around a long time and even old prayer warriors, that we got to reach in and pull that knife back out. And that's when you let the Word cut some things free in your life. and you go and you enter into a place called worship, and you let the preaching of the word get in there, and he starts working on your heart, and he starts cutting away through the washing of the word, and you lay it on an altar, and you say, there it is. He had that knife because there were things that only God could do. You got to understand and realize that today in this service, there are only things that God can do. There are only things, Cody, that you begin to hear about today and you begin to hear about in this service and in your class next door. And somewhere it got down on the inside of you. Today is the first day of your walk with God. And it's the best decision you ever made in your life to get up and come to church with your Aunt Sharon. Because there is a God of heaven that He put a mandate on me today, and I've felt it for about 3 or 4 days. You realize there are 6 people, brand new saints. 6. 2 of them first time here. All 6 of them have only been here at the most a month, 4 weeks. And 2 just got baptized last week and God filled them with the Holy Ghost. Their journey's not complete. He's just putting their world back together again. And all 6 of these, they need to enter into a place called worship. I dare say there's some of you, because why would the scripture say the Father seeketh such to worship Him if everybody was really entering into a place of worship? How many times do we come and we stand at the well and He's offering that living water and we go home thirsty? We go home with things unresolved, pains, never put anything, never doctored, never touched. Why? Because we refuse to take a drink. And all you got to do is go up to a place called worship. Living things need to be crucified. The Bible says in one verse, He'll give you beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for heaviness. God wants to take those old burnt places and replace them with beautiful things. Oil of joy for mourning and a garment of praise for heaviness. I can preach to you today. I can teach. I can sing. I can even play bass. I can take your kids on the trip. I can do all the things, but I can't worship for you. Because worship is from the Spirit. It's a journey that you got to take. I can do all these things and I can plead and I can beg and I can feel the burden of a pastor that I only heard my father talk about but never felt. And I can stand here before you and I can do everything. I can pray for you. I can lay hands on you and pray for you. I can baptize you, but I cannot worship for you. Worship is your relationship with God. It's an outward expression of an inward feeling. And worship is from way down deep. I wonder if there's anybody today that would like to take that journey. That would like to keep on walking into that place. I know we got a baby dedication in just a little bit. I know we got a baptism in just a little bit. But won't you give God just a moment, just a few minutes? Because there's somebody that's thirsty. Because there's somebody that needs to have some things burnt in their lives. And some relationships need to be severed. And some connections need to be separated. I'm reaching for you.